Now we're returning to the book of Titus as Paul is reviewing the qualifications of elders. And we are picking up in verse 7. We'll get some of that verse done today. In Titus chapter 1, verse 7, we read that the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed. There's a word in there that we're not altogether familiar with. That is the word steward. We've heard of a ship's steward. We know some guys named Stuart, but we don't really use the term steward all that often. Let me define it for you. The word steward is a job description. It's somebody who has been given a trust or a duty in charge of either a business or a household or put in charge of something valuable with the purpose of distributing it. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, as he was teaching in a parable about being a steward of the Lord, he said, "Who then," asking this question, "who then is the faithful and sensible steward, whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time?" What he did by asking that question was actually defined for us what a steward is. In this case, it was a servant in a household whose job was to distribute the rations that he'd been entrusted with by the master to distribute them to all of his fellow servants. Not only his own rations were given to him, but all of the rations that his fellow servants were to have as well, at the proper people at the proper time, distributing them in a proper way. That is what a faithful and sensible steward does. Takes what he's been entrusted with and distributes it as the owner sees fit and commands. In this case, the steward was in charge of the servants. And this is illustrated even in the Greek word that's translated steward. You see, the Greek word is, as I've shared many times before, that is a language that builds on compound words. And in this case, the two words that make up the word steward, which, by the way, is oikonomos, is from oikos, which means house, and nomos, which means I ain't got no more left, man. It's nomos. Oh, no, that was something else. I'm mixing up my Spanish and my Greek again. Nomos in Spanish means no more. But nomos in Greek, it comes from a root verb that means to parcel out. It means to parcel out. So the word steward really means the guy who parcels out in the household or on behalf of the owner of a household. So the steward, basically, in a nutshell, is somebody who's been given the duty of distribution. The duty of distribution. Now, as you go through the scriptures, what you find out is that as we've been called to examine stewardship here, as you go through the scriptures, you find out that there are all kinds of stewardships given to us. In other words, things that God has given to us that he expects us then to distribute them for the benefit of others. Take, for example, our time and our energy. We are called to distribute these things as God has given them to us. We're called to distribute them for the benefit of others. Our money and our resources, materially, we are called to distribute for the benefit of other people. Now, even the gifts and the talents, both natural and spiritual gifts that we've been given, the abilities that we have instinctively, naturally, also the spiritual gifts that God gives to us, these things are to be used for the purpose of other people's benefit. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, he said, "As each one of us has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." We've been given gifts, spiritual gifts and natural gifts. We are to employ them in the benefit of other people, to serve other people. Again, the stewardship is God says, here's a gift. Now use that to benefit other people. In other words, distribute the gift which I've given to you. Not just in our gifts, but also our time and our energy to serve other people. That Romans chapter 12, Paul wrote to the Romans telling us to be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor. Well, that takes energy to be stewards of the energy that God has given to us and give preference to others and say, you know what? I'm beat. I'm tired. But you're more important. What can I do for you? And I'm exhausted. I'm on a limited time here. But what can I do to bless you? Well, again, even our money is the same way that God has given to us stewardship of money. Yes, part of that money is our ration. But as we found out a few months ago in the study of the book of Ephesians, the entire reason that we work is not just to provide for our family, but we are to live within our means in such a way that we have extra so that we have enough to share with those who are in need. And that was a very challenging teaching there in the book of Ephesians, where Ephesians basically rebuking the American style of living, which is to live just to our means or just beyond our means. That's why we have credit cards and loans. But in fact, to live beneath our means so that we have an abundance. Now, I got a lot of flack on that one. You know, it's like, well, that's not the American way. I heard in the foyer quite a bit throughout the services. But today I was really blessed after second service. A couple came up to me and said, Ron, we took that very seriously when we read that in the Word and you taught that and we prayed that through for about a week. And we decided we were living just to our means. We weren't living beyond our means, but we never had an abundance to share. So we sold our house, we downsized, we lowered our standard of living across the board. And they said, God has blessed us abundantly every step of the way. And now when we see need, we're always able to do it. And you know what? God blessed us in such a way that our smaller house, our cheaper house, we love it more than the bigger one, than the more expensive one. And everything that we've done to downsize, we're actually happier now than we were before. And so they said, don't be discouraged. Not everybody has completely rejected this. We've applied it to our lives. Want to encourage you in that today. And it was a great encouragement. Because many times we hear these sorts of studies about sharing, about stewardship, about the contrasting of selfishness and self-centered living, and we harden our hearts to that, and yet we shouldn't. And so with the concept of money, having an abundance, as Paul told the Corinthians, he said the concept here is your abundance being a supply for their need, so that when we see somebody who's in need, we're not living in such a way that we say, man, I'm sorry, I don't have a buck to give you. I don't have 10 bucks to meet your need. I don't have 5 bucks to feed you food. But instead to live in such a way that there is an abundance to supply and to be faithful in that stewardship of that money, because it all belongs to God anyway. Not just money, but also resources, material goods, things, stuff, we call it. Now, you know that when John the Baptist was in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance, people were coming from all of Judea, coming out to this remote place at the Jordan River, saying, what must we do? What should we do? John, tell us, rebuke us. John said, well, the one who has 2 coats to wear, give 1 to who has none. And the one with food should do the same. Well, it seems so common sense. It seems so obvious. It seems so plain that we would say, well, sure, if you have 2 coats, give 1 to the guy who doesn't have a coat. That's what they tried to teach us in preschool, right? And yet reality of American Christianity is quite different. We justify these things in our minds. We say, well, look, what's mine is mine. What I've earned, I'm keeping. You know, there's no free rides and there's no free lunch, and it's just not right. The reason you don't have a coat, buddy, is because you didn't study in school like I did. Because you're not busy paying off student loans for the college education that I got. What about you? What were you doing? Probably on drugs on the street corner or something, right? And I've worked my way up. I've climbed the company ladder and I'm making money now. And yeah, I might have extra, but it's mine because I worked for it and you didn't. Well, you know what? We may not say it that brutally, but our actions betray that we think that literally. That we're not into sharing, that we're not into distributing as people have need. We don't do that because it's not the American way. There's no free rides. There's no free lunch. And the fact is, even when there's 2 coats, the one who has 2 coats to wear, give 1 to who has none. Well, you know what? I technically don't have two coats because one of my coats is brown and one of them is black, and they go with different outfits. So really, I don't have two coats. I've got one black coat and I've got one brown coat, and I'm not going to be a social outcast dressing in an ensemble that doesn't match my shoes. Now, if I had two brown coats, then I might, well, technically I have two brown coats. I've got a brown windbreaker and I've got a brown blazer. But they're different kinds of coats and I need them for different things. Now, if I had two brown blazers, well, one of them has the silver thing and one of them has the gold. But if I had two of the same kind, well, I actually do, because I've got like the, when I'm fat, I wear this size, and when I'm skinny, I wear this size. But if I have two of exactly the same, you see, we make excuses for our abundance. And we find reason not to share with those who have need. It's tough for people. What's mine is mine. The selfish living, you know, the selfish living is not just an American Christianity thing. It's not just a 1900s and the year to the century of the 2000s that we live in now. It went way back to the first century. Back in the first century, James had... He was a half-brother of Jesus Christ. The Bible says even his own brothers did not believe in him until after the resurrection. And so James had spent a lot of years being hard-hearted against Jesus, not wanting to follow after him, thinking he was probably certifiably insane. But after he rose from the dead, he became an on-fire believer in Jesus Christ. James was a no-holds-barred, cut to the chase, no compromise kind of guy. And maybe you found that as you read through the scriptures. You open up the book of James, and as soon as you start reading it, out comes this boxing glove, you know, right out of the Bible. Man, James doesn't pull any punches. And James had seen enough selfish Christianity to where he said, you know what, guys, what use is it if you see a brother or a sister in need, who is without proper clothing, in need of daily food, and you say, oh, go be warmed and be filled. I'll pray for you. God's blessings on you. What good was that? James said that's no good. James said that had no value. Go in peace. Be warmed and filled. Do you really expect that when you say, oh, God bless you, I'll pray for you, brother, be warmed and filled. Do you really expect that the person's going to say, wow, I've got this sensation in my stomach. Suddenly I'm full. It's almost as if you've just fed me an entire 5-course meal and I'm no longer cold. You told me, God bless you, be warmed. And now it's, even though I don't have a jacket, it's like I'm wearing one. Thank you so much, brother. Well, no, of course not. Of course that doesn't happen. Because yes, we're to pray without ceasing. We're to intercede for people. But we're also to meet their needs practically. We are to say, you know what? He's without daily food. I'll pray for you, but I'll also feed you. He's without proper clothing. Yes, I'll pray for you, but I will also supply what you need. And James said, when you don't supply, when you say, oh, go in peace, be warmed and filled, James said, what use is that? And as you go on to read the scriptures in the book of James, he says, you know what, people who have that kind of faith, it's a dead faith, it's a worthless faith, it's a useless faith, it's no faith at all. Those kind of actions prove that you don't have faith. James is just like right there in your face. And so you can't do that. You can't say, well, you know, I've got a supply, but I'll pray for you, because it's not up to me to do this. Now, notice too that the good stewardship is contrasted here with the self-willed. When we're talking about the overseer being above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, there's a contrast there. You're either above reproach as God's steward or you're self-willed. You're either living selfishly and directing yourself as to how you're going to use these resources, or you're letting God direct, that you'll be in accordance with God's will instead of your own will. And that's why Paul said to the Philippians, do nothing out of selfishness or empty conceit. Do nothing out of selfishness or empty conceit. But with humility of mind, what you need to do is regard yourselves, or regard each other as more important than yourselves. When you look at other people, are you thinking that you are the most important or that they are the most important? He went on to say, don't look out for your own interests, but for the interest of others. Now, as you're reading that in the book of Philippians, you might notice in your Bible, it actually says there in English, it says, do not merely look out for your own personal interests. Insinuating that, you know, don't just look out for you, but look out for them too. You'll notice if your Bible is accurate in its translation that the word merely is in italics there. In other words, it wasn't in the original Greek language. They put it there to clarify. Actually, what they did is they watered it down. You see, what the Greek literally says there is do not look out for your own interests, but instead look out for the interests of others. Yeah, if we were all busy doing that, all of our interests would be met, all of our needs would be fulfilled, because I'm busy looking out for you and you're busy looking out for me. And so we don't do without if we're all fulfilling the scriptures. But let's expand this a little bit, because the stewardship that the Bible's talking about is not just in material goods and monetary blessings. It's not just with our time, it's not just with our energy, it's not just with things and stuff. It's our whole lives. The Bible makes very clear that one of the stewardships we've been given is our very life itself, that God has given us life itself for the purpose and with the intention of us distributing it to others, giving out. These lives don't belong to us. They belong to God, and God wants us to distribute them out. That's what Paul told the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15, saying that Christ died for all so that those who live would no longer live for themselves. Yes, we live. We're alive. We're breathing. Our heart's beating. We're walking around, and yet we're not to live for ourselves. Instead, we're supposed to live for him who died and rose again on their behalf. We're not even supposed to be living for ourselves. We're supposed to be treating life as a stewardship that we give out to people. This is the example that Christ gave to us. This is how we live for Christ, is to live like Christ and to live in the way that he's directed, in the way that he's exampled out and modeled for us. How did Christ live? His life was a stewardship that he gave out. You know, Christ was one who worked at ministry all day long, all day, every day. And when time came to eat and others were eating, he kept ministering. And when time came to sleep and others began to sleep, he kept meeting the needs of those who were there. And if it had to be 3 o'clock in the morning before he'd get some time just alone to pray, that's what he would do. His whole life was spent giving out. When he was thirsty, he met others' needs. When he was hungry, he met others' needs. When he was tired, he ministered to other people. His life was a distribution, because his life was a stewardship. And so as we see this, and we see the example of that he died for us so that we would no longer live for ourselves, but that we would live for him and treat these lives as a stewardship from him and for him. And that's what Paul meant when he said that the overseer, speaking of the elders, the overseers, the bishops, the episkopos is the Greek word, that the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed. That the way an overseer, an elder, a bishop, an episkopos, the way this guy in church leadership shows that he is above reproach is to live his life for the benefit of other people, not for his own. It's what he's to do. Paul knew this. Paul told the Colossians this in Colossians chapter 1. He said, of this church, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God. I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God. God said, okay, this is the ration. It's your life. I want you to be a minister. In other words, to give out to other people. He said, this stewardship from God, which was bestowed on me for your benefit. You remember back in Luke 12, we were talking about the steward who was given all these rations. and given the task of now, at the proper time to the proper people, give out the proper rations. He could have lived selfishly and said, look at all these rations I have. Yeah, all right, man, I've got 20 times what I was expecting. This is great. We do that with our lives. The overseer, the elder, the bishop, the episcopos, the church leaders, the pastors, the ministers, they've been given a life, but it's not for them. It's to be stewards of God. Now, that doesn't mean that we distribute God. It means that God is the owner who gives us life, who gives us ministry to distribute for the benefit of other people. That our life is to be given for the benefit of other people, no longer living for themselves. And there's people who have titles. And you can call them reverend, you can call them pastor, you can call them elder, you can call them bishop, whatever you want to call them. I've met many people with titles who don't understand the concept of stewardship. Of, look, this life is not mine. Who make themselves readily available for a couple hours a day. I remember talking to a pastor who said, man, I tell the people in the church, you call me during business hours from 8 to 5. After that, my life is my own. Wow. Don't know if that man's still in ministry, but he never really was in ministry because he was never a steward. He never took his life and said, it's for the purpose of distributing. You know, there's a reason that never in my life of ministry have I owned caller ID. Because I don't care if it's a phone solicitor or somebody in my family or one of you, I'm going to pick up the phone. And that's why to this day I sleep with the phone right next to my head. Because I know that if you end up in the emergency room, somebody in your family is going to call me, and it's not probably not going to be during business hours. It'll probably be at 2:30 in the morning. Now, sometimes you got to let it ring 4 or 5 times because, like, you know, okay, here we go. All right, I'm here. And, you know, my first thought is never, even in the midst of sleeping, my first thought is never, who in the world is calling at this ungodly hour? I get an adrenaline rush of, okay, I'm going to have to throw on some clothes and get down to the hospital, or I'm going to end up 3 o'clock in the morning in somebody's living room with my hair all askew doing marriage counseling. And you know what? I don't complain because that's what my life is for. That's why God saved me. Because my life is a stewardship of ministry. You know, if you only take calls from people that you want to talk to, don't be in church leadership. As a matter of fact, really don't broadcast yourself as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus talked to a lot of annoying people. Phone solicitors today were tax gatherers in that century. And Jesus ministered to them too. Our lives are given to us as a stewardship, especially those in leadership, especially those whose names are listed in your bulletin, the pastors, the elders, the deacons. If you can't get a hold of them on a regular basis, you let me know and we'll find something else for them to do. Because their lives, they've pledged to serve you. I don't think you'll find that to be the case in accessibility. But it's not just the leaders. Yes, in context, Titus 1, 7a is talking about the overseer. But all of us have been given a stewardship of our very lives. And not just our very lives. Not just our lives. But in fact, if you do a study, if you open up your concordance and you look up steward and stewards and stewardship, what you find is that by far the most frequent usage of that word in the New Testament applies to the gospel. That you've been given a stewardship, we as Christians have been given a stewardship of the gospel, of this mystery of God, that the Son of God would come to earth and die in our place so that we could have our sins forgiven and spend eternity with Him. That has been given to each of us who has been born again. And God said, yeah, your ration here's your ration of the gospel in that it saves you, but you've got so much more. It's your duty to distribute it. Paul was telling the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, he said, let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. This truly is a mystery that God wants to reveal. Let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Paul wanted to be known. He said, hey, if people are going to think about me, let them regard me in this way, as a servant of Christ and a steward of the gospel. That's what I want to be thought of. You know, someday I'll die, and hopefully at least a handful of people show up at my funeral, and they'll probably be invited to come forward and talk and give their impression. Who was Ron? How did you regard him? And I've worked really hard to make sure that nobody gets up there and says, you know, he was a handsome man. I've tried so hard to avoid that. And some people might say, oh, you know, he really loved to draw and to work with wood, or other people say, you know, there was a couple people that found him funny. And whatever, see, it was those two people just now. What I really hope is that without exception, every single person gets up and says, the guy was a servant of Christ. He was a steward of the mysteries of God, that he took that assignment and distributed the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ to everybody. That's how Paul said, let a man regard us in this manner. That's what I want to be known for, a servant of Christ and a steward of the mysteries of God. He said, moreover, in this case, it's essential, it's needful, it's required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. It's required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. You know, a big, big, big ministry in the church to Christians of all ages, to brand new believers, to people that have been saved for a long time, great big ministry, is just the ministry of teaching them to trust God. It's just saying, hey, you know what? It looks bleak right now, but trust the Lord. He's in control. Hey, I know you don't know how this is going right now, but trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. We are always ministering to people. Trust the Lord. But guess what? God is trusting you. God has given you the gospel. This is so near and dear to me. He says, I want you to be a steward of it. It's required of you as a steward that you be found trustworthy. I'm trusting you to not only take your ration, but to give everyone else theirs, to distribute it. Oh, Lord, but what if there's only enough for me? Oh, there'll always be more than enough. There'll always be more than enough. There'll always be more than enough, because whether somebody is thirsting after the water of the Word of God, or hungering for the bread of life, hungering for the meat of the word, it'll be just like those 5 loaves and 2 fish. That you break it off and you give it out and you break it off and you give it out and you break it off. And pretty soon everybody that needed has received their portion, an abundant portion, and you end up with more than you had. That's what happened to the disciples. They had 5 loaves and 2 fish. By the time they exercised proper stewardship by distributing, as was their duty, when it came back and they gathered up all the extra, 12 baskets full. They didn't even start out with that much. 12 baskets full. If we're faithful in our stewardship, have you ever considered, most of us know people like this that are generous to a fault, they're Christians, they seem to have money and they give it away. And the more they give it away, the more they seem to get money. And the people that do this, it's not because, don't think about this in a worldly way, it's not because they have good business sense, it's not because of their investments in the stock market, it's not because money just seems to gravitate to them, it's because God has told us that if you're faithful in the little things, He entrusts with you more things. And if you're a wise and faithful and sensible steward who says, okay, God's given me this much, not just for me, but for other people. And I'm going to be faithful, and I'm going to give it out, and I'm going to give it out, and I'm going to give it out. Guess what? You're entrusted with more to give out and give out and give out. And it's not just with money. It's with service, with giving our lives to people and ministering to people. You know, when I'm selfish with my time, it just disappears like a vapor. But when I minister to people and I serve them and I spend those hours with them, somehow the time comes back to me. The more selfish I am with my time, the less time I have. But the more I give out, the more I serve, the more I minister, the more I get. It's amazing. And it's true for every area of stewardship. It'll be true for the gospel. It'll be true for the Word of God. There has been no time that I've tried to distribute the Word of God to people where I came back empty. Oh, no, I gave the last bit away. I got nothing, you know. What's that John 3:16? I can't even remember that. It's not like that at all. The more I give out, the more it comes back to me. And that's what Paul said to the Colossians. I've read this verse to you partially already. Colossians 1:25, that he's saying, I was made a steward, or I was made a minister according to the stewardship of God, which he bestowed on me for your benefit. But he said, so that God gave me this stewardship of my life and this ministry for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God. That I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God. That's a stewardship. The preaching of the Word of God, your life, the ministry, the gospel, a steward of God's grace. All of this God has given to us saying, I'm trusting you. It's required that you be found trustworthy. It's not an option. I'm assigning you this position. It's not suggested. In fact, it's commanded. And that's what Paul realized. Paul said, you know, if I preach the gospel, I don't have anything to brag about. I have nothing of which to boast. Because if I preach the gospel, he said, I'm under compulsion. He said, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. Because why? Because if I do it voluntarily, I have a reward. But if I do it against my will, I have a stewardship entrusted to me. God said, Paul, this is your job. Preach the word, make known the mystery of God. Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do I have a choice, Lord? No, you don't have a choice. Okay, then. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. That we take the stewardship God's given to us and we recognize that our duty is to distribute. Our duty is to distribute. That is the command. The commandment is distribution of everything we have, of everything that God has entrusted to us. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That means everything in it belongs to the Lord. It means every penny in the bank account, every dollar in our pocket, every material good in our home, every car in our driveway, every minute of our day, Father, it belongs to you. Some of it's going to be my portion, but much of it is going to be given to other people as they have need. I pray that we recognize this and become people that are regarded by people, others, in this manner. Wow, those folks. They claim Christ, but they live Christ too. They say they love one another, but I can see that they love one another. They say they worship God, but I see that they're servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Let's pray. Father, we recognize that stewardship is a great responsibility. That when we gave our hearts to you and received the forgiveness that you offered to us through your Son on the cross, that when we received that, it was not just our portion, but it was many others. That we've been given a stewardship of the gospel to distribute it as people have need. When you've poured out the word richly in our hearts, we recognize this is not just for me, but it's for many that I need to distribute the word of God, that I might fully carry out the preaching of it. Lord, as you gave us that paycheck this month, We stand before you and we say, God, many of us have been guilty of saying, it's all mine. But instead, we recognize that it's a stewardship, and really it's all yours. It's a blessing that we get to keep any of it, because it's our portion, it's our ration, but you've called us to give rations to others as well. Lord, I pray that we would be found faithful in this stewardship. I pray that whether we're talking about our money or our resources, our time, our energy, our lives, the gospel, the preaching of the word, the mysteries of God, whatever these stewardships you've given to us, I pray that we would be found faithful. I pray that no heart would be hardened, saying, oh, that's only for the rich. That message was only for people in church leadership. But in fact, God, that we would recognize that the stewardship is for each of us from you. And it's not optional. Lord, I pray this week, even this afternoon, we would be encountered in a situation where we've got two coats and we come across someone with nothing. Where we've got two cars and we meet someone with no car. That we have an abundance and they have a need. That we have the gospel and they have never heard it. Lord, I pray that we would be found to be faithful and sensible and wise stewards. And that when you put us in a situation where we're confronted today or in the days to come this week, that we would be found faithful, not selfishly hoarding what it is that we think belongs to us, but that we would give out, that we would distribute, as is our duty. Lord, we know as we're faithful in these little things, you'll entrust to us greater things. And our portion will always be there, even as we give to others their portion. Conversely, Father, I pray that if we're encountering a situation and we're not faithful, Lord, we know that your word tells us even what we have will be taken away from us. And so as we're confronted with that truth, Lord, I pray that it would be right there in front of our faces, that we would make the right decision, that we would be faithful stewards, above reproach, not self-willed. And we pray these things in your precious Son's name. Amen.